Well, it's good to be back for sure. Especially like this. It's like vacation goes on. There were so many good things that I can share. We don't have time for them. God has really blessed us. We could see both sides of the family. My dad that I didn't see for 3 years. I can go on and on and on, but I'm thankful that God has blessed us with the time that we had. I cannot resist to share one episode. We were on a lake at some point in Wisconsin. I hope Bianca doesn't mind that. And she loves fishing. And she had this little rod, this little toy thing with real string and real hook, though. And so she was there in the morning, and I was right beside her. And so we dug some worms up, and I helped her to put them on the hook, and she was there fishing. I said, you know, it's time to go. Let's go. I mean, she was fishing little ones, and we let them go one by one. And then there was a little part of the worm left. And I said, well, let's just let it down there. Let's feed the fish and let's go. And I turned around and I hear this scream. She's screaming, Daddy, ah! And I turn back around and I see her rod is like this. This little toy, and she hangs on to this thing. Well, by the time I got to her, it was already broken. And so I had to catch the string in my hand. And my brother-in-law came, Villa's brother. And we saw this huge thing jumping out of the water, I don't know, maybe 20 feet from us. Man, that was huge. So we got it on, we landed that thing. It was 32-inch muskie. And she caught it on this little toy thing that people go there prepared with professional gears and bows and everything. And here's Bianca with this little thing. It was so amazing. Well, before we go into our passage today, I'd like to say a few words in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to be together as your people, to know that you are the shepherd and we are yours. Lord, talk to us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts. We pray that we will respond to you today again. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to start in the beginning of chapter 10, Gospel of John. And I'd like us to look at this little parable that Jesus shared with his disciples. And I'm sure there were many times when Jesus would talk to his disciples and they wouldn't get it. And I'm sure you've probably found many places like that in the Bible. This is one of those places when Jesus would say something that would just fly over their heads. So let's read that and see if we get it. Verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter this sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And there it is. Jesus used this illustration, or a parable, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So now let's see if we are smarter than they. What do we see in this parable? And I'd like us to interact today. In this setting, it's impossible to be so formal and just to talk, you know, one way. So please participate. Let's refresh in our minds this picture that we just read about. Sheepfold. Most likely it was a stone sheepfold. Maybe it was a cave. Most likely it was just stones. And as history tells us that the shepherd would be right there by the door, protecting his sheep, his flock. And so now what do we see in this picture that we just read that disciples couldn't get it? It's simple, right? We are much smarter than they were. So what about resistance? Okay, so what do we see here? We see a picture of the sheepfold, right? and we see somebody who is trying to get in. Just try to imagine that. We just read it. So the person is getting inside with what motives? To steal the sheep. And so the only way to do that is not to go through the door. Who would go through the door to steal the sheep if the shepherd is right there, right? So the person is trying to get in to steal the sheep. Thief, a robber, there's a difference between them. We're not going to go into that, but what is the point that Jesus is making here? What is he saying by this? Well, do you think it would be logical that right after these words that we just read, the illustration about the stranger that sheep wouldn't listen to, they only listen to the shepherd, Jesus would say, I am a shepherd. It would be logical, right? He is talking about a stranger versus a shepherd that sheep know the voice of. Yet, it's so interesting that right after this illustration, in verse 7 through 10, we read about somebody or something different. It says, then Jesus said to them again. And after the words that John put there, that Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them, we expect that Jesus would explain himself now, okay? And so he turns to his disciples and says to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door. Every time I read this passage, it just blows me away. It's like somebody breaks the logic here. He was just talking about the sheep and the stranger and not a stranger, the shepherd most likely. And now he says, I am the door. So let's read that. What's the door about? I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. We've heard that already. I am the door. So twice. Apparently there was a reason why they had to hear these words, that he is the door. And we get it, okay? He says it twice now. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Well, we need to talk here. So what's the door about? Why does he have to say this, that he is the door? Any ideas? I welcome your comments, your thoughts. He's the way, the door. Okay, there's a connection there. There is no other way. Any other thoughts? Door is protection. Interesting. How is that? The real way is through the door, which is a protection. May say that somebody was inspired to be a door greeter after reading this passage, because it was such a vivid picture of somebody welcoming people or leading people into the right direction. Okay? Those who come through him, he guarantees safety to them. Any other comments? Any other ideas? Yes. Life, safety, okay. A warning. Any other comments? Any other ideas? So if you saw in the bulletin, the title of the sermon is Givers versus Takers. So the strangers, the thieves, robbers, they come to steal. Now, who are those in this context? Who are those people that Jesus was referring to? Who are they that came to steal, to rob? When he said those things, did he mean somebody in particular in that particular context back then? The leaders. Yes, the leaders. Now, that's a very strong statement. The leaders of the time, the under-shepherds, or shepherds they thought they were, they came not through him, and they were thieves. Now, that's a very strong statement, but what it means basically that anybody who comes to God's people, not through Jesus, there is no way for that person to give something. That person only can steal. Have you ever thought about that? That person is a taker, he's not a giver. Now, we're going to touch two levels in this passage. One would be the external, another one will be the internal. So external now. God's people, like we are here, anybody comes to us and pretends to be a leader and invites us somewhere, but that person doesn't come through Jesus. There is no way that person can give us something. Person who gets through the fence, not through the door, is there to take something from us. Now, we can think about some leaders, some people that we know that preached to us. There are so many other things except Jesus that we heard people preach. Now, it's a very strong statement, but based on this scripture, there is no way somebody can give us something unless that person comes to us through Jesus or by Jesus. Now, let's clarify, what does it mean to come by Jesus, by the door? What does it mean in reality? How does it work? If those leaders who came before Jesus, Pharisees, Sadducees, other leaders, spiritual leaders, they came with their own agenda. I mean, they had something that they wanted people to know, to follow. And they maybe thought that they were giving something. Yet Jesus called them takers. Any other comments? Yes. I'm glad you brought it up, but we'll talk about that in just a few moments. Let's just clarify. So the point is that we need to see the concept here, the principle, which is very simple in words. Anything or anybody that comes to God's people through all kinds of things but through Jesus is a taker, is not a giver. Okay? Now, I ask you a question, what does it mean to come by Jesus? And maybe would you agree that if I would say that the person who comes with the same approach as Jesus would, which is love to give, which is humility, and you can add to that, in the same spirit that Jesus would, through Jesus, that person is a giver. Now, if we would stop here, it would not be a good idea, because what it would make us think about is, okay, that is a giver, that is a taker, that person is a bad person, that person is another. And that's not the point. We need to know this principle. We need to understand that when somebody comes to us not through Jesus, we cannot take or receive anything from that person. We need to know that. But the point is not to judge who is who, okay? Now, let's turn this around, and we are still in the external level. When we come as Christians to people, we have a choice. We can come to them by the door, by Jesus, or over the fence. When we come in contact with people around us, and we talk today about the mission that unites us, the outreach, there is no way that we can give something to people if we come to them, not through Jesus, but around, with all kinds of different other things, agendas, and good things. We are not givers, but we are still takers. We take something from them. We come to people and want to change their behavior. We want to change their life habits. We want to whatever, external appearance, whatever you can put in that list. If we come to them with that in mind, according to this passage, we are not givers, but we are takers. It's an interesting thought that Jesus adds to this, that those strangers that come to God's people, for some reason, God's people or sheep, they don't hear that voice. I wanted to bring it up, but I want you to think about the meaning of that. We're not going to go in depth, but that's a very interesting statement there. So when we come to people, we need to think whether we come to people through Jesus or over the fence and take something from them. That's the external part. Let's talk about the internal, which is our personal lives. And when we see this principle that Jesus described, it applies to our personal lives. Because as a child of God, I have a choice. When the voice that I hear in my mind comes either from the giver or from the taker. And it's interesting, even though in this passage, in the parable that we read, there was another element. There was a doorkeeper, which in the external level would apply to a person, maybe to a disciple of Jesus that brings Jesus to people or allows the shepherd to come to people. But on the internal level, on the personal level, who is or what is the doorkeeper that helps us to make that choice? Who do we listen to? Giver or the taker? Who is that? What is this? Holy Spirit. But does Holy Spirit make a decision for us, or do we? At the end of the day, we are the ones who make the choice. Let's talk about reality. We grew up, all of us, with different people who were authority in our lives. Our parents, spiritual leaders, teachers. You can add your own list. And we got used to their voices. By voices, I don't mean real voices. I mean their principles, their values, how they think, what they say. And we accepted that. We were taught to accept that as something valuable, as something important. Now, every time when we make a choice, whether we want it or not, we have that voice in our mind, the voice of authority. And sometimes that voice of authority is not there to give us something, but to take something from us. Let's give an example. We grew up with some sort of fear or some sense of guilt. And all we do, if we listen to that voice, we put ourselves down and down and down, and we bury ourselves under that fear or guilt that comes from that voice that we're used to. And we have a choice as a doorkeeper. Do we keep listening to that voice, whatever that voice might be in our mind? Or do we choose to listen to another voice, which is the voice of Jesus, who comes to give, not to take, who comes into our life so we would have life more abundantly, he says. And we are the doorkeeper. When we make a choice, who do we listen to? On our personal level. So next time when you catch yourself beating yourself up, thinking how terrible you are, how bad you are, think what is the voice and who is sending you that voice. The giver or the taker? It can be over a good thing. It can be over something that you have done and it's wrong. And you keep beating yourself up for it. Now, is that voice coming to you through the door or over the fence? Is that voice coming to you to give you something, to make you something, to recreate something in you, or to destroy? We need to think, we need to be conscious about that. Because Satan is the one who comes to steal and to destroy. And that's his voice. But unfortunately, we've gotten so used to those voices, we think that's a good thing, that we beat ourselves up. And it does nothing good to us. That's our choice. Today, I challenge you, every time when you catch yourself in that mode or in that system, beating yourself up for something, think, stop and pray and ask God to hear His voice that comes through the door. And that voice comes from Jesus, not to take something from you, but to give you something very valuable, to give you life more abundantly, to reconstruct you, not destroy you, to heal you, not to kill you. So that's the choice that you and I are making every moment. And I hope that after today's talk, we'll be more conscious about those voices that we hear, and we'll be the example of that healing, that the voice that comes through the door in our lives, the voice of Jesus, that after that experience, we turn to people and we can be the under-shepherds of Jesus who come to them in the same spirit to heal, to restore, not to destroy. So that's the challenge that I see in Scripture. And personally, I've been studying this for several weeks now. And I cannot describe to you how big the difference I've felt in my personal life after reading and studying this, that there is a voice of a good shepherd that we can choose. We don't have to
keep destroying ourselves. We can stop that panic mode, that stressful period, whatever you are going through. We can stop and say, look, I have a choice. I don't have to keep listening to this voice that comes not through Jesus. Because Jesus comes to give, not to take. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we are your people, your children. And Lord, we know that you come to give, not to take. Well, yes, you take us from slavery and you offer us that we can get rid of so many bad things. But those are bad things. Lord, we choose today to hear your voice, today and every moment after today. Lord, we want to be healed. We want to have that life, have it more abundantly. Lord, we want to experience it ourselves, experience that voice and that healing in our lives. And Lord, we want to become ministers to others, to help other people to make that choice and to listen to the one who gives, not the one who takes away. Lord, please make us your ministers. Make us your under-shepherds and use us, Lord, for your glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.